Nissan CEO is stepping down, marking a major change for the company.
With Saikawa out, the old guard of the company has really left the building.
Plus, activist investor Elliott Management discloses a stake in AT&T and calls for some changes. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to Nissan and AT&T, here are some other top stories we're following today. The future of U.S. talks with the Taliban remains uncertain after President Trump announced over the weekend that he had canceled secret talks that were set to take place in Camp David on Sunday. The president said he suspended the talks because of a car bomb attack in Kabul that killed 12 people, including a U.S. soldier. But we report that opposition within the Trump administration led the president to call them off. The Wall Street Journal's Gordon Lubold has more on what comes next.
Mr. Trump said today that he considered the peace talks completely dead. But again, this seems to be more of a negotiating tactic than a substantive comment about the status of the talks. People are eager to see if the Pentagon withdraws some of the 14,000 troops who are assigned and deployed to Afghanistan. The plan has always been to draw down some or all forces as a result of these peace talks. And the initial drawdown was to be as much as 5,000 troops. It's not clear if troops would be redeployed from Afghanistan or not, or if something would occur separate from these peace talks. But it seems unlikely that they would pull troops out of Afghanistan without some kind of a deal. Mr. Trump is eager to end these endless wars, particularly in Afghanistan, but he has advisors, including senior officers and commanders in the U.S. military, who don't think he should give something away for nothing.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Gordon Lubold reporting from Washington. A California judge has restored a nationwide injunction blocking the Trump administration's restrictions on asylum claims. The administration issued the restrictions in July, saying Central American migrants must first seek asylum and be denied in another country before they can seek asylum in the United States. The fight over the restrictions isn't over yet. The Trump administration has already filed a related emergency appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court. As expected, a group of attorneys general from nearly every state have officially launched an antitrust investigation of Google parent Alphabet. Tech companies are also under tougher scrutiny from the U.S. Justice Department and Congress over whether too few companies are exerting dominance over the marketplace and whether they're illegally stifling competition. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson insists that the United Kingdom will leave the European Union on October 31st, despite a new law that prevents the UK from leaving the bloc without a divorce deal in place. Johnson says he wants to leave the EU with an agreement, but hasn't provided details on how such a deal would happen. Parliament voted last week to approve a law that would require the government to ask for a Brexit extension if there's no deal in place by October 19th. Lawmakers are set to vote late Monday to reject Johnson's call for new elections. September is known as a turbulent time for stocks. We report that U.S. stocks are near records, but ongoing concerns like trade tensions and slowing global growth could cloud the picture. Some investors are recalling last September when the S&P 500 peaked but went on to fall nearly 20% over the following 3 months. U.S. stocks moved little on Monday, ending the day close to where they started. Nissan CEO Hiroto Saikawa is stepping down next week, a decision the automaker's board made after an investigation found he had received improper compensation. His term had also been marred by the arrest of former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn, who's been charged with financial crimes, including underreporting his compensation. For more on this story, I spoke with reporter Sean McLean in Tokyo.
Saikawa has been under increasing pressure in recent weeks as it became clear that he, too, had received extra pay that he hadn't been due. And on top of that, Nissan's been facing a lot of troubles with its business performance. And so the pressure just been sort of building on both Saikawa and the board to make a decision about the future of the company. Saikawa has always said that he would go. He's just been a little bit nebulous on when that would happen. It is connected to the investigation into Carlos Ghosn in that the investigation ended today. They presented their findings of the investigation, and Saikawa said that at this stage, this would be the earliest time he would feel comfortable handing over the reins to another person. So he's out now to make room for the nomination committee of the board to find a long-term replacement.
And Sean, can you explain a little bit about what exactly happened with Mr. Saikawa's compensation?
So Mr. Saikawa in 2013 cashed in what are called stock appreciation rights, sort of performance bonus pay based on the movement of the stock price over a period of time. And what happened was the exercise dates of those rights were moved back to a time when the share prices, you know, had a big jump. So that ended up giving Mr. Saikawa an extra $430,000 or so. The board found that Mr. Saikawa hadn't actually asked for that to happen. And so they decided that there was no wrongdoing on his part, but they did say it was his responsibility to figure out when he wanted to exercise those dates. And instead, Mr. Saikawa had delegated that authority to the person who manipulated those dates. And so they said that was inappropriate, but they haven't said that a firing offense, for example. Mr. Saikawa said that even though he did nothing wrong and didn't ask for this, he realizes that it was inappropriate that he received this money, and he said he would return it.
So how does this overall impact Nissan's reputation and the challenges ahead?
Well, Saikawa has said he hopes that Nissan will figure out how to hand over the company to the next generation of leaders. It's clear that from all the information that's come out in our reporting and Nissan's public statements, that there were widespread issues in the governance of this company. So with Saikawa out, the old guard of the company has really left the building. And it's up to the board now to figure out if they're going to install one of Nissan's younger executives as the new CEO or to bring in somebody from the outside. I don't think they've made a decision on that yet. They're going to spend the next 2 months figuring that out.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Sean McClain reporting from Tokyo. Activist investor Elliott Management has disclosed a $3.2 billion stake in AT&T and is calling for some changes at the company. Joining me now with more details is The Wall Street Journal's Drew Fitzgerald. So, Drew, what prompted Elliott to disclose its stake in AT&T today?
Well, the company wasn't clear about exactly what prompted its move today, but it is notable that it comes after, about a week after, the company named longtime executive John Stankey to become its chief operating officer, which is essentially a number two role seen as the pole position spot to become eventual CEO.
Tell us some of the details. What exactly is Elliott calling for regarding AT&T and its business structure?
Elliott is an activist investor that is well known for pushing for change at a wide range of companies, from Samsung and eBay to Arconic, the company formerly known as Alcoa. What it's doing here is more or less part of its standard playbook. It's pushing for changes at the board level and has said that it would like to bring in new blood to the AT&T board. It's pushing for cost cuts to, in its words, make AT&T more efficient and cost effective, as it says Verizon has become in recent years through its cost-cutting program. And it's also looking for a review of the company's direction. It's not necessarily calling for the sale of any specific assets, but it is clearly looking for the company to take a hard look at some of the companies that it's acquired in recent years, including the company formerly known as Time Warner and DirecTV, which made AT&T the biggest pay TV provider in the country.
So what does this potentially mean for AT&T? Does it show a dissension in the ranks here?
Well, it certainly shows and is evidence of some of the investor dissatisfaction that has been at the fringes of this company for the last 2 to 3 years. The stock hit a multi-year low late last year as it digested the acquisition of Time Warner, and a lot of stock investors had the same sort of questions as the company's bond investors. And that question was whether AT&T's very heavy debt load would be a drag on the company in the future. Now, the company has worked to whittle down that debt by selling small assets. Now, small for AT&T are assets worth $1 or $2 billion. And it's shored up the balance sheet in recent months, and that's helped improve the stock. But Elliott is pushing for more, and it's pushing for more faster.
Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Fitzgerald joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Drew.
Sure thing.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.